And so, Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for the life that you've given every single one of us. Another opportunity to be able to come to know you. And I pray that as a result of our time today, that we would be able to be more fully convinced of the love that you have for us as an individual. Father, the weight of what we're talking about today is that I just don't want any of us to miss out on the fact that you want relationship with us. And if we miss that, then everything else doesn't matter. So, Father, with everything that's in our minds and in our hearts and all the struggles, the hurt, the worries, the fears, everything that is bogging us down right now, I pray that you would give us moments to be able to be liberated from that so we can see you as who you are and to be able to hear your invitation to be able to come to you with all of that, to experience freedom. And so, Father, help us now. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So we have been spending time talking through prayer and fasting over the last couple of weeks as a church family, and we're going to continue that. And what our hearts cry with this series is not that you would hear another thing that you need to add to your to-do list, not to be able to just be reminded of another thing that you're not doing good enough, not to be able to be persuaded of another thing that will make you more religious. But it is our hope and our cry that every single one of us would not see prayer and fasting as an obligation, but that we would see it as an invitation to be able to get to know God. To see it not as an obligation, but as an opportunity. And so, man, we are diving in, and we pray that every single one of you would be able to get to a place in your life where you would understand that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's our hope and cry. But what we're talking about here for prayer and fasting, this is for all of us, but it's a little bit more for those of you that you're ready to lean in. You don't know how to be able to take that first step. You don't know where to start on this journey with God. Well, man, there's no better way than to be able to just start praying. There's no better way to be able to start fasting, which is all scary and all that stuff. I understand it doesn't need to be scary, and that's why we're talking about it. Because we believe that it is through this prayer and through fasting that we get to rid ourselves of ourselves and be filled with God. We get to see life correctly because we are exchanging ourselves to be able to have the vision and the heart of God. And so that's what we're talking about. And so we're going to begin transitioning over the next couple of weeks to just zoning in on fasting, but we don't really have the words yet to be able to put this, so it doesn't sound all good. It's not like perfectly thought out, but that's okay. But we're going to begin talking about what happens when we fast. So if you want to say benefits, that kind of sounds weird. You want to say results, that kind of sounds weird. So we're not really sure what word to put it, but we're going to talk about what happens when we fast. And so today, what we're going to zone in on is we're going to just see how the scripture shows us that when we fast, it is an invitation to experience freedom. So fasting is an invitation to freedom. And so I've just got one idea for us today, and we're going to unpack this during our time. And it is just this, that fasting helps us lay aside what is holding us back so that we can be free in Christ. Fasting helps us lay aside what is holding us back so that we can be free in Christ. And so Pastor Tim shared his own testimony with his relationship with fasting. And I pray that you were encouraged by that. That Man, when he was fully and finally convinced that fasting is an invitation to be able to receive more of God, to be able to get closer to him, and that's the idea and the driving factor behind fasting, then he was like, man, I need to do it. And then we heard some testimonies from some of you last week as well about how, man, it's like something clicked inside of us that it's not about me just denying myself of something just to deny myself, but it's me denying myself of food which gives me strength. And why am I denying that? Because I rely on my own strength too much. And so fasting is a way of denying ourselves of something that would give us strength so that we can put ourselves before God to be strengthened by him. And what I'm simply just going to lay before you is that, man, when we do that, when we put ourselves in that situation before God where we're praying and we're not being distracted by the things of this world and our opportunities and obligations and all that, and we just sit before God and we give him space and we give him the authority that he is due in our lives, what begins to happen is he begins to help us experience freedom. We begin to be exposed to the various things that we've been allowing to hold us back. We begin to see how we've been affected by this life. We get to see the blind spots that we may have. Hey, buddy. And so, why are we talking about this? It's, we just live at too fast of a pace. There's so much to do. There's so many fun things to do out there that we just want to go and experience it all. Life is just going faster and faster, and bills just keep piling up more and more. So then the temptation is to just work more and more, and there's just fast, 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 right? But not fasting in a good way. Just the pace is just crazy. And what begins to happen, this is so dangerous, because when life is going at that speed, then we begin to neglect our own souls. When we're just trying to keep up with all that is in front of us, we begin to neglect what is going on inside of us. So what begins to happen is you begin to have a heartbreak, or you begin to have a disappointment, and instead of being able to slow down and deal with that, you just pick up that disappointment and put it over your shoulder and keep going. Then life continues to happen, and things happen, and they don't go the way that you expected. And because we don't give space for grief, we don't give space to be able to sit before God and be able to tell him, God, why did you allow that to happen that way? We just keep it pushing. We just keep moving. And so we put that kind of, I'm angry at you, God, but I don't know if I'm allowed to be angry because that just feels wrong. So we just put that on our shoulder, don't deal with it, and keep going. And before you know it, we just keep putting on more and more and more on our shoulders, and we're carrying all of this weight that we've not been designed to carry. And so what the Word of God is here to present us to is that, man, maybe you've had a wrong idea of what fasting is. What I want to suggest to all of us as this family is that fasting is an act of war. It is an act of resistance, saying that everything in my life is saying I got to keep going, but I'm going to stop and sit and say, God, I need your help. God, what am I focusing on that I need to let go? What weight am I carrying that I need to lay aside? Fasting is that opportunity to be able to sit and be able to just allow God to be able to read you and be like, yo, let this go. Yo, give this to me. You don't need to carry this. Lay that aside. Reach out to that person. I know they ticked you off, but go say hi. Go love on them. You need that. I'm ticked at them, God. What you mean? No, do it. But if we just keep going, if we don't incorporate this protection of our own souls and incorporate fasting, then we just keep going and we're going to live in bondage. And so I don't need, you guys aren't very good at talking back to me, so that's okay. I'm going to just allow you do your thing and that's fine. All right. But I don't need to persuade you that you're carrying something that you don't need to be carrying right now. I don't need to persuade you that there is something that you've believed about yourself that is not true, that you've embraced as your own identity, and it is affecting everything about you. I don't need to persuade you that you have heartbreak in the past that you didn't deal with. But listen, we're not designed to carry those things on our own. We have a risen Savior who defeated all that. And he is welcoming all of us with open arms. And he says, man, come to me. And I'll help you find rest. And so that's what we want to lay before you. That, man, fasting is an opportunity for you to be able to present yourself before God and say, God, where do I need help? That's where I can start because I don't even know where I need help. So, man, fasting is an awesome opportunity for me to be able to be like, God, what am I missing? And so as we read, I just want to ask you, man, what are you carrying that you have not been designed to carry? And so Psalm 139, we're going to read the last two verses, so 23 and 24. But what I want to encourage you with is fold down this page, or if you're following along in the Bible app, man, text the chapter to yourself and go back to it this week. Let's allow Psalm 139 to be able to be a psalm that we live in this week as a family. But we're just going to look at the last two verses today and be able to see what God would have to say to us. Starting in verse 23, it says this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Right? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Right? So what is that? What is that talking about? Man, this is an amazing prayer for you to be able to write down. If you struggle with prayer and you don't know what to say, listen, don't reinvent the wheel. This is a prayer right here, which is really great to pray. So when you come across things in the Bible, which maybe mirror your heart, say that back to God. Right? So what is this saying? This is saying, hey, God, search me. Look over my entire life. This word search is also used in the context of describing what miners do. Right? What does a miner do? Do they just walk out on this field and look to see if there's anything good laying on the surface? No, they devote their time and energy to dig deep and to find something that they know is there, right? Long, arduous, they're going deep, right? It's also used to describe what a lawyer does when they're examining the court case to try to find any way to be able to find like a weakness in the argument. So again, that's like relentless pursuit. This is studying, right? And so, but who is asking who to do this? In this psalm, this is me asking God to search my heart. Does God know what's going on in my heart? Does he need permission to know what's going on? No. So then what is this trying to teach us and to train us? Man, we need to slow down enough to be able to give God the availability and the authority to be able to look and to reveal something. Because listen, I see it. I feel it in me and I see it in you. God is always searching. He's always revealing things. But what do we do with that? more often than not, we're just like, nope, not today. More often than that, nah, not going to deal with that. I think you were talking to the person sitting next to me, not me. Right? So we may ask God to reveal something, and we may really want that closeness with God, but we don't want to go through the process. And so that's why I want to just lay before all of us that, man, for us to be able to get to a point where we're saying, God, would you search me? Would you know my heart? Would you be able to look to see if there's anything that is off or hindering me? You can pray that without fasting. But what I want to lay as an application for all of us is that I think this is very well for us to do in conjunction with fasting. Because you have to be able to slow down and give God the space to actually speak. And so we're going to continue to walk through this, but I think that we need to walk through this a little bit because you guys are looking at me funny. And so let's do an illustration to try to give you some handlebars. And so how many of you can think of a time in your life where you had something really big to do? Something new that you've never done before, or maybe a conversation that you needed to have, but you knew that after you had this conversation, you weren't sure what was going to do the relationship. So everybody bring to your mind something like that. Okay, good. How did it make you feel? Oh yeah, I forgot you guys don't talk back, so I'll talk. Okay, anxious. Okay, here we go. Okay, so anxious. All right, so yeah, how many of you feel like it is the biggest thing on your mind and you can't even like do the rest of life? It just feels like there's an elephant sitting on you and that's all you can focus on, right? There's times where like those things, those responsibilities, those conversations, they just feel like they consume and they take over everything and we're not free to live the rest of life. Right? And so I can think of a numerous amount of times where this has happened to me, right? But even just really simply put, when Marissa and I were dating, I remember we had to have conversations where it was like, yo, are you cool with this? If you're not cool with this, then we got to be done, right? She had those with me. I had those with her. And if you're dating and you're not having those conversations, you're doing something wrong. That's for free, okay? So you need to have those kind of conversations. That's the purpose of dating, okay? Just so you know. All right, but anyway. But, you know, I really liked her, right? And so to be able to have those conversations, you had to have those so that we can actually get to a better point in our relationship, because it would be unhealthy for us to proceed if we weren't on the same page. But there's still that risk of, well, what if she says this, right? We had the conversations and we're okay. We're good, right? But then I remember also before I had to ask her dad for permission to be able to marry her. Man, that was like overwhelmed me so much. I felt like, you know, there was no worry. We had no reason to worry about it, and it sideswiped him. So it was kind of the best thing in the world. But anyway, that consumed me. It was like this huge ordeal. But when I did, how did I feel? This huge weight was just lifted off because the thing that I was so worried about was done with, right? How many of you took that test, that examination, take that first step to be able to launch your own business, whatever it is. When you finally do it, you're able to do what? Breathe again. You're able to live again. You shed that weight and you get to experience freedom. That's what we're talking about here. Every single one of us, we have things that we are carrying with us that we are not intended to carry. There is a weight that is waiting to be lifted off of your back so that you can experience freedom in Christ. But it doesn't happen if you just keep on going. Right? Let's think about this biblically. I mean, go back to the very beginning of the Bible. In Genesis, God created everything and it was, there we go. Man, that was good. It was good. Man and woman was in perfect relationship with God and everything was good. It was harmony, right? Well, then Adam and Eve sinned. They rebelled against God. But what I want you to think about, what happened when God came down to them? Did he yell at them because of their sin? He didn't excuse sin. right? Sin was bad. It destroyed something. But he goes into the garden to find Adam and Eve, and they are hiding. And God says, Adam, where are you? And notice, what did Adam say? He said, we heard you coming. We were afraid because we were naked. So they put on shame. They started wearing this burden of shame. And instead of running to God in their moment of greatest need, they took on the burden of shame and they ran from God. And so how did God respond to them? Did he say, I can't believe that you did this? You see the heart of the Father from the very beginning of Scripture. What did he say? Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that? Right? It's this heart of that God was brokenhearted, not only because of sin, but God was brokenhearted that they took upon themselves a burden they were not designed to carry. I mean, what burden are you carrying today? But then even within ourselves, I don't need to convince you that you just keep going. You just keep going. You don't deal with it. We don't deal with our stuff. But all throughout Scripture, there is the challenge for us to be able to lay things aside. And so let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's just see. What is this invitation? Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. You can follow along on the screens behind me. You say this, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Right? So what is this saying? What do we focus in on so much within the faith? We've belittled our relationship with God to just be sin management. Okay. And so don't hear me. Sin is horrible and it needs to be dealt with. It is so serious that is why Christ took on flesh and he died the death in your place that you and I deserve to die to be able to pay for the penalty of our sin, right? Sin is serious. But listen, God is so committed to you and to your relationship with him that he wants to go deeper than your sin. And this is the freedom that I believe that we can experience as we press into this relationship with God. Listen, go back to the text. What does it say? It says, let us also lay aside what? You can talk to me. It's okay. What does it say? Weighty things. What else? Somebody could read that right off the screen. Two words I'm asking you to read. It's good. So sin, but then right before it, every weight, right? Every weight. And do you think that the order matters here? I think that the order matters. And this is a huge thing here, right? So listen, Chris, why are you talking about this? This is crazy. Just get to the point. All right, I'm working there. Listen. We so focus just on sin and don't do this, don't do that. I know that God doesn't want me to do this. And we just focus all of our attention because listen, it's a little bit easier to be able to try to do something in the sin management than it is to be able to deal with the weight. So I can keep running and fool myself into thinking that I'm really walking out my faith with Jesus if I'm just trying not to sin. We spend so much time right here. But listen, the gift of fasting, The gift of being able to slow down so that I can sit before God and say, God, search me. You have all the authority to be able to search my life, my heart. And I want you to show me what's going on inside of me. Show me the weight that I am carrying inside of me that I have not been designed to carry. And when he does, there's freedom experienced. And a lot of times when we deal with the weight, the sin falls away. What do I mean by this? So I spent so much of my, from middle school all the way up through college of my walk with Jesus, basically just don't lust. That was my Christianity. Don't look at something you shouldn't look at. And so when I was not looking at things I shouldn't look at, how was I doing in my relationship with Jesus? Really good, right? Because I was just not looking at something I shouldn't. My whole existence, my walk with Jesus was belittled to just don't do this. And so I've been praying over the last couple months and asking God, I've been fasting and saying, God, why do I do this? Why is lust a thing that I've been so drawn to? And so as I've been sitting before God and saying, God, I just want to stop doing this. That was my prayer. I just want to never do this ever again. I was sitting there and God revealed a weight inside of me and said, hey, Chris, we'll talk about that later, but let's sit here and let's talk about this. How have you been viewing yourself since you were a young child? You've been battling with doubt and insecurity your whole life, haven't you, Chris? I'm like, yeah, but I want to stop doing this. What are you talking about? No, no, let's sit here, Chris. The way that you've dealt with your doubt and insecurity and not feeling like you're good enough, instead of giving that to God the way that God is intending, I've been dealing with this deep weight and hurt by running to lust. Medicating my deeper weight by this sin. And so I cannot do this all I want, but what do I still have to deal with? This fact that I still wrestle with the fact that God actually loves me. So I'm telling you from firsthand experience, I didn't search this out, but when I began to say, hey, God, would you just show me what's off? How am I viewing myself wrong? When I began praying that, God's like, oh yeah, this is how, man. Would you begin to believe how much I love you, Chris? And listen, as I've been pressing into that and just trying to live here, say, God, I don't want to believe these lies anymore about how I believe myself. I don't want to allow the enemy to keep me stuck here. I've been full. And guess what's happening to this over here? There's so much less of an allure. Why? Because this is the true issue. This weight that I've been carrying, and it's so burdensome, it's so heavy that I've been running to something to give me medication for that only God can do. So God is healing. He's giving me freedom because I'm being overwhelmed with his love for me. And another example is, man, I don't know what I'm doing with fasting. I'm new on this journey. So when I would normally be preparing the food that I would eat and eating, I just pray. And a lot of times I'm praying for you guys and family members. And so one time I'm praying for other people and the Spirit of God just was like, hey, I'm going to deal with something you've been carrying. And you've got no idea, homie. It just flashed a memory of a very distinct person from years back. And just the thought of this person, while I'm praying for other people, this holy person before you, right? I just get so angry and bitter and all this rage and resentment for this person comes up inside of me. And I'm like, whoa, what is that? And so I sat there with God, not just pushing it aside, but I sat there, God, where did that come from? I didn't know I was carrying that. And so God's like, yeah, you need to let that go. Because that anger, that bitterness that you have towards that person, it's affecting you in every other area of life. So he's like, pray for this person. So do you think I wanted to pray for this person? Heck no. I want to be angry. They treated me wrong. They added a whole lot of junk to my life. What the Spirit realized was that actually it was the way that I was holding on to that bitterness and the resentment that was adding all that junk to my life. And so in that moment, man, I experienced freedom. So now I'm praying for this person and I don't have that rage, that anger, that bitterness. And so, man, that's what the invitation is that, man, lay aside not just the sin, but lay aside all the weight, all the things that are holding you back, all those burdens, all those fears, all those insecurities, the people pleasing inside of you. The self-reliance, the shame from what you've done in the past, the comparison, the perfectionism, the bitterness, the busyness. I mean, all this stuff that we just kind of throw over our shoulder and just add it to our course in life. What is the scripture saying? I mean, there's freedom for you. You have not been designed to carry that. The invitation is to lay all of that junk aside, to be able to lay it aside and to be able to walk closely. Right? What does the rest of it say? Man, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely so that what? We can run. We can run after Jesus. We can be free. We can be free. And so what are we to do with this? And this is what is messing me up, is that I don't think that we want God. And it breaks my heart. We're too busy to experience God. And that upsets me. It upsets me about myself. Is that, man, we're not trying to lay before you these things that you have to do. What the scripture is showing for all of us is that, man, prayer and fasting, these are invitations for you to be able to be who God has made you to be. This is an invitation for you to come alive, for you to shed the weight, the things that you've been believing about yourself, the things that other people have done to you, to put all that aside and to experience freedom with Christ. The thing that's so hard is it requires us to take a step. And so what I'm praying for all of us is just Matthew 11 as I close. It's a verse, if you've been along around the Bible for any amount of time, you've probably heard it. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And this is the invitation. It's not about obligation. This Christian walk is not about you to just do all these things. It's for you to experience a person, to experience the fact that God loves you. He sees all your junk, your garbage, all the burdens and weights. He sees all the lies that you believe about yourself. And yet his desire, his words to you are this: come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ is out laying for us. Man, just simply, if we would cut the junk and just come to him. He says, man, Any of you that have a burden, any of you that feel weighed down, any of you that have things that you can't accomplish in your own strength, the invitation is to come to Jesus. Exchange all those things that you're worried about. And the promise of Scripture is that He will give you rest. He'll heal what you would never expect needed to be healed. He'll give you wisdom that you need, exactly what you need. Is He going to just come in there with some TNT and blow that joker up? No, no. Who is our Savior? And what is He? How does He describe Himself? For I am gentle and lowly in heart, man. He's going to deal with you exactly as you need to be dealt with. He is the loving Father that we desperately need. And so my encouragement, my challenge for all of us today is to stop carrying that junk. Would you trust in Christ? Would you stop believing that you need to clean yourself up so that you can come to Him? Man, He says He sees all your stuff and the invitation is to come. And I'll help you. I'll heal you. I'll make you whole. And I'll teach you this new way of life, which is easy and light, right? It's going back to Psalm 139, is that He will teach us the way everlasting. He'll teach us the way of true life. And so as we take time to be able to sing a song, to be able to wrap up this time, I just want to encourage you, man, whatever it is that you've been carrying, man, you can trust Christ with that. Stop relying on yourself. Stop worrying about what other people may think. Man, I want freedom for you. The person next to you, they may have some ulterior motives and they have to stand before God with that. You, be real and honest before God and experience the freedom that He wants to give you. And so this week, take Psalm 139. Get some time in prayer and pray every verse. Pray it back to God. And if your heart doesn't match it, then say, God, help my heart match these words. Spend some time fasting. If you don't know how to do that, man, just skip a meal. Start right there. And pray these things and say, God, man, I need you to help me. Because there's freedom on the other side. There's freedom for us because Jesus helps us lay aside what is holding us back so we can walk in freedom. So if you need prayer even here today, then man, during the song, after the service, man, come forward, ask somebody sitting next to you, and just pray. Let us lay aside every weight so that we can be alive in Christ. So let me pray. Father, I thank You for the fact that You love us so deeply. Even yet while we were in our sin, You came and You died for us while we were far off, while we were in our worst state. You died so that we can be forgiven and set free. And so I pray for all of us under the sound of my voice right now that we would be less concerned about maintaining an image and more concerned about our heart before You. That You would help us to be able to lay aside the burdens and the weights that we've been carrying and to be able to experience freedom from You. So God, help us to be able to take You at Your word and obey. And I pray that even in new and in fresh ways that we would experience freedom today and every day. So it's in Your great and mighty name we pray. Amen.